God's Little Brown Church Sermon Series featuring Pastor Andrew Chrysler.
Well, it's a real blessing and a joy to be here and to share with you what the Lord's doing in my life and what He's been speaking to me recently. Like I said, I want to thank you for your prayers. I've been traveling throughout COVID. I haven't stopped traveling. I've done a lot of traveling. I did a little traveling that first year, but I've really progressed since the first year. And of course, I've had to jump through a lot of hoops to do it. It's been very complicated. And I was in Guatemala, and I had to go to Guatemala City and get a COVID test before I could get on the plane, you know, and you got to have all these COVID things before you go. And you pack your suitcase with COVID tests, because when you get to these countries, they want you to do the test. And it's very complicated. I was in the Ivory Coast, and the U.S. required that you have a test to come back. They don't now, but they did. And there was only one place in the city the U.S. would accept. And they were only open Monday to Friday. And the test had to be less than 24 hours old. And I was flying on a Monday. So it's almost impossible to make those things work. And you just pray and you pray and you pray and you say, God, you've got to help me. And then in the middle of all that, I got bronchitis. And I thought, now everybody in the world thinks I have COVID. But I had so many COVID tests, I knew I didn't have COVID. And so I just kept hiding myself, you know. You're just hiding. You hide behind the mask. You hide behind your scarf. And you because you don't want to cough because everybody thinks you got COVID. But I didn't, and went to the Philippines. Been to Benin, but I went to the Philippines and I got bronchitis again. So you guys need to pray with me and pray for me. It just happened that it seems every time I travel to a tropical country during rainy season in August, I get bronchitis. So I decided I'm not going to go to these countries in August. My friends in the Philippines, they said, so what are you going to do? I said, I'm just not going to come in August, that's all. I said, God is with me and God protects me, and I'm just so grateful. I'm so grateful. And I thank you for your prayers. The people that I minister to are so grateful for your prayers. They're so grateful that you send me. You do. You send me. You have a part in this harvest field. And when I get out to these little villages, and they hug me and thank me for coming, this is part of your heritage, your inheritance. This is something that you can hang on to and say, I have a part in these people remaining in ministry in these little towns. My ministry in the Philippines is different from my ministry in Africa. In Africa, I teach in a Bible school. In the different countries, they have Bible schools, and I go and I teach, and I stay in one place mostly, or two, and don't travel much, just stay in the city and all that. But when I'm in the Philippines, and it takes a long time to get there, by the time I leave my house and take a 9-hour train from, I leave my house, drive an hour and a half to Buffalo, New York, then take a 9-hour train ride from Buffalo to New York City, and then I get on an airplane that's a 15-hour flight from New York City to Saudi Arabia, and then I sit in Saudi Arabia for 10 hours and get on another 11-hour flight and get to Manila, take a hotel, get on another flight to get to Palawan, and then I go 4 hours into the bush before I get to my first church. By the time I get out there, it's not easy. But I hug those pastors' wives, and I pray with their people, and I sit in their church, and I sleep in their houses, don't I, Cher? I sleep in their houses, I eat their food, and the next day I get up and go to the next place. And every day I'm in another place. Sometimes I'm in a place for 2 days, but almost every day, sometimes I'm preaching 3 and 4 times a day. And I go, and I go, and I go. The pastor said to me when I first went, he said, please, will you go to the villages? He said, the Philippines has over 7,000 islands. And on a lot of these islands, we have churches. But many pastors' wives commit suicide because nobody ever goes. Nobody ever goes. And he said, will you go? And I said, I'll go. And so that's where I go, and that's what I do. And I preach to their people, and I preach messages of hope. I preach messages of healing. I preach messages where they can just hang on to something until the Lord ministers to them the next time. And I tell them, I'll say, I'll come. I'll come. I promise I'll come. And I go there, and you have a part in that, and I want to say thank you. And I developed this message because of my travels, and I call it Speak to Your Storm. Speak to your storm, because there's things that happen to us in our lives that are like storms. They're problems. Whether you just got a message from the doctor saying that your blood work wasn't good, or you've got something even more serious like cancer or whatever it is that may have happened to you, or whether your insurance company just dropped you, and or you've got an electric bill that is much higher than you ever experienced or expected to have. These are storms in our lives. They're all storms. The things that happen to us are storms, and the enemy brings them in order to discourage us. And yet, like I told you about Peter, Jesus walked on the storm. He walked on top of the storm. But not only that, he spoke to the storm. And in Matthew chapter 8, where we see Jesus is in the boat with the disciples, and he's sleeping. He's sound asleep in the middle of the storm. He's laying there in the boat, and the disciples shake him awake, and they say to him, don't you care? What's wrong with you? Don't you care? We're going to die. We're all going to die. Don't you care? And Jesus just gets up and says, peace be still. I can just imagine. I mean, it's like mom who wakes up from a nap, and the kids are just tearing through the house, and she says, stop it. And that's what Jesus did. That's what he did. Stop it. And he's speaking to the elements, the storm, the wind, and the waves. And the disciples are like, wow, the storm obeyed him. Did you know you can speak to your storm? And you can say, stop it. I've had enough. I've had enough. It's time to stop. And God wants us to take that authority. He wants us to stand in our bedroom, stand in our secret place, and stand there and say, I've had enough. I've drawn a line in the sand. I've had enough. I'm not going anymore. This is it. And we speak to the devil that way. That's how Jesus did it. And when Jesus did those things on the earth, he did it to show us how we can do it. He didn't do anything that we can't do. He died so we could do what he did. And so he spoke to the storm. You can speak to your storm. You can say to your storm, I've had enough. I'm done. I've drawn a line in the sand. I'm not going any farther. I remember I was in Africa. We'd just been there about a year and a half, and I was quite frustrated with my life. There were some situations going on, and I was in a storm. I was in a big storm. It's difficult sometimes as a missionary to be far away from all of your friends. And at that point, I hadn't made a lot of African friends. We were new as missionaries, so I felt entirely alone. And I went up to the bedroom, and I opened up the window. And I honestly don't know why. I'd never heard anybody say that you should do this, but I just did it. I got up to my bedroom, I opened up the door, and I yelled as loud as I could yell. I said, Satan, listen to me right now. I said, you listen to me, north wind, south wind, east wind, and west. You carry this message, and you understand that I have come this far. I'm drawing a line in the sand, and I'm not going any further, and this problem is finished. I'd had enough. And I stood there, and I just said, okay, God, thank you. And later that day, I got a phone call. Now, I don't get very many phone calls on the mission field. And especially then, because it was $50 for 3 minutes. Now you can do internet phone. There's lots of ways you can do phone calls. And it was a friend of mine from Florida. Her name is Judy. And Judy called me up. And she said, Debbie, I was praying for you this morning. And God told me to call you and tell you that a line has been drawn in the sand. And I discovered I could speak to my storm. and the wind would carry my message. I want you to know you can speak to your storm. You can speak to your storm. I love the section in Malachi chapter 3, verses 16 to 18, and I'm going to read that for you. Then those who respected the Lord spoke to one another, and the Lord took notice. A scroll was prepared before him in which were recorded the names of those who respected the Lord and honored his name. They will belong to me, says the Lord, who rules over all. In the day when I prepare my own special property, I will spare them as a man spares his son who serves him. Then once more you will see that I make a distinction between the righteous and the wicked, between those who serve God and the one who does not. So, you know, we always hear about that book in heaven that has our name written down, our names written down in glory. You know, we are saved, our names written with the blood of Jesus Christ. Did you know there's another book? There's another book, and it records everything you say.
I tell them that all the time.
God writes down what you say, and he keeps it in the book. And when you are talking to each other and you're talking to your friends, you're talking to people, God's writing down what you say. And if you're righteous and you're speaking words of faith, then in the day of trouble, he gets out the book and he reads what you said and he applies that to your account. And he says, wow, they said that I would meet all of their needs. They said that I am Jehovah Jireh. They said that I give healing. I have healing in my wings. They said that I am the Prince of Peace. They said that God is with them and they're never alone. Whenever we say things, God writes it in the book. And then on the day of trouble, he opens up the book and flips through the pages to see what you said. And if you said that God is with you and he's doing great things in your life and he will provide for you, he will heal you, he will help your family, he will make things work, then he's going to apply that to that situation. But if you didn't say anything good and he opens the book, it's empty. It's empty. And I've heard so many people, they have these storms in their life and they come to church and you say, how are you doing? Terrible. Just terrible. I got this one friend, she just says, I'm tired. I'm tired. I'm tired. She always says, I'm tired. I get tired listening to her be tired. And I tell her, I say, but God's with you. God's doing something. And she doesn't speak to her storm. You know, we often get together, well, I don't know why God does so much for that person. He never does anything for me. Why doesn't God do anything for me? Well, God's writing that, those, you know, he's writing down every time someone says he's doing things for them. You understand what I'm saying? He's writing it down. But when you say God never does anything for you, there's nothing there in your book. And he obeys the word, the words that you said. We have to speak to our storm. Speak to the storm. Speak to the problem. You come to church, you get together with your friends, and it's not wrong to say the problem. So, how are you doing? You know what? I don't feel very good today, but my God promised that he would heal me, that he would deliver me. I know God's going to do a miracle for me. The doctor said I've got this problem, but I'm just going to stand in faith that God's going to bring me out of it. God's going to change my life. Oh, my kids are a mess, but I know that God has his hand on my daughter's life. God has his hand on my son's life. God has his hand on my husband. God has his hand on the neighbors across the street that are driving me crazy. But one of these days, those neighbors are going to come to Jesus, and you watch and see what God's going to do in their life, and you begin to say the things God says and not the things that the devil says. And when you're talking about your kids, you don't always talk about how terrible they are. You say, you know what? God showed me that my son has a spirit of peace upon him. When he talks to other people, he just knows how to fix a situation. Now, it may not look like that right now, but boy, when God gets a hold of him, when God gets a hold of him, his life is going to change because I'm speaking it into his life and I'm declaring it. I am proclaiming it. I believe that God's going to move in my kids. This is how we should talk. This is how we should talk because we should speak to that storm. Speak to that situation and say, peace, be still. We live in an area in western New York right now on an Indian reservation. Actually, Sherry's house and my house is just off, but the church is right on the in the reservation. And it's not a very big town. What did you say there are, 4,000 people?
About 5,000.
5,000 people, and we have over 65 marijuana shops. Because it's legal there. We have over 65 marijuana shops, as well as cigarette shops, liquor shops, a casino, in a town of 5,000 people. Little town. And you know, it'd be so easy to just say, this town, this is terrible. And we had a ladies' conference last year, this in October. Some people were running around the church fighting over drug money, and they were shooting, and the bullet went right into the church, right over our heads of all the ladies in the church in the middle of our conference. Crazy things happen when the devil is stirring people up. And you could look at our town and say, you know what? This place is terrible. This place is the devil's playground. What in the world are we going to do in this place? But we don't do that in our church. We march around in our church and we declare victory and we declare a revival and we declare a move of God. And this is how we should speak about our families, about our village, our town, our state, our nation. It is so easy to look at the storm in our nation and to look at the things that are going on in our nation, regardless of which side you're on. It makes no difference what side you're on. If you are speaking all kinds of negative words against our nation, you're not bringing forth a blessing. Amen. And we need to start declaring and say, this nation was built upon godly principles. And we're going to get this place back. And we're going to speak to that storm. And we say to this storm, you need to stop. And I believe it. This is how we change things. Because we are mighty people in the name of the Lord God Almighty. Isn't that so? We are mighty people and we have authority. We have authority because that's what Jesus said. Use the authority that you have to back you up. I was thinking about those seven sons of Sceva that were trying to cast out a devil. And you know what? The devil said to them, Paul, we know. Jesus, we know. But we don't know who you are. But you have authority. You have power. You have the right. You can speak to your storm. No matter what you're going through, you have that right. You can do it. I tell my kids that. I try to raise my children in that same way. I tell my son, I told him the whole time he was growing up, I said, honey, you are a mighty man of God. You are a mighty man of God. God's going to move in your life. You're going to do great things. I said to my daughter when she got adopted into our family, I said, honey, the same blessings that are on your brother are on you because of the spirit of adoption. She said, well, you know, honey, or mom, I can't change nature and you can't change nature. So maybe I'm just going to be this poor kid from Africa. I said, honey, you don't understand. The anointing of God is upon your life and I will not speak those other words. And I don't care what's going on in your life. You are a mighty woman of God, and all of the blessings that are on your brother are on you. And one day, I was looking at my daughter, and this is the honest truth. I'm looking at my daughter, and she has my son's teeth. I was amazed. Now, in my family, my sister and I had these big buck teeth. We had her teeth fixed. She had to get her daughter's teeth fixed. She had to get her son's teeth fixed. For some reason, everybody's teeth came out big. But my son has these perfect straight teeth. And I always was amazed at that. My daughter, when we got her from Africa, she had an infection in the bone in her jaw, and it was rotting. And they told me if we hadn't adopted her when we did, she would have died because of the infection in her jaw, and they had to take a lot of her teeth out. And they said to us, when she gets older, she's going to need a lot of dental work. She's going to have great problems. And I was looking at her. We never gave her any dental work. We never had to do anything. My son never had a cavity till he was in his 20s. And I look at those two kids, and they have the exact same teeth. And she's an African girl from Africa, and he's a white guy from Pennsylvania. You know, and I'm like, wow, the blessings, I spoke those blessings on my daughter and said that the blessings that are on my son would be upon her. And I look at her life and I look at where God's taking her and I see what she's doing, and she does the same things that her brother does. My son's an attorney and he supports a lot of mission work. And my daughter, she supports these kids in the Philippines all by herself. She pays for their school fees. She pays for their food. She does all these things, and she doesn't have a lot of money, but it's on her heart because she's got the same spirit that her brother does. Because I told her so. And God listened to what I said. I want to encourage you today, no matter what storm you're going through, you can speak to a financial storm, you can speak to those storms, and you can say, you need to stop. Because I am a child of God, and God promised me that He would provide for all of my needs. I didn't intend to speak this message today. I'm sitting there at the keyboard. I had every intention to speak something else, but I felt like God wanted you to know that you can speak to your storm. And one of the ways that we speak to our storm that we need to use is music. Sing. There's a song in my life, a song that I learned as a teenager, growing up. It's not a popular song. I doubt that any of you even know the song. It goes, "We've come this far by faith, leaning on the Lord, trusting in His holy word. He's never failed us yet. Oh, just remember all the good things God has done, things that seemed impossible. They're the victories that God has won." And I use that song in my life over and over and over. While I've been traveling through all these different countries, the Lord will use that song in every situation. And it's amazing to me. We were traveling in a van with a whole bunch of people. We'd invited some kids to come be with us, some older teens and younger 20s. We had way too many people to fit in the van and a whole lot more luggage than we should have had. And we were driving in the dark, and you're not supposed to do that in Africa either, but we'd had a flat tire. So now we're going through Ghana, and we're crossing countries. Fred and I routinely travel to different countries, and we had all these kids with us, and the van is packed, and we had so much luggage we couldn't tie the hatch down, or couldn't close the hatch, so we had it tied with ropes. And the police stopped us. And they're standing there by the side of the road, and they want us to give them money, so they're trying to intimidate us, and they yell inside the van, "Everybody get out, everybody out, everybody get out." And I'm sitting there in the van, my niece is with me. I said, "Hannah, don't leave. Don't you get up." She says, "Why?" I said, "Because we're busy. You stay right here." So everybody's piling out of the van, and this policeman comes up, and all he wants is money. We hadn't done anything wrong, but he saw this van full of white folk from America, and he was sure he could get a lot of money, and he pulls us over, and he looks inside, and he said to me, "I told you, everybody get out." And I said, "I can't get out." And he said, "Why?" I said, "Because I'm singing. We come this far by faith, leaning on the Lord, trusting in His holy word. He's never failed us yet." And he looked at me and he said, "You are crazy." And he turned around and told everybody, "Get back in the van," and sent us on our way. And I've had that happen to me so many times. We were driving through another area where there was a Liberian refugee camp and a lot of rough people, people that were not good people, that were out trying to steal from people as they're driving by and hijack cars and stuff like that. And we're driving through that area, and our car starts to have trouble, and Fred says, "Oh no, I think I broke a belt." And I said, "Oh no." And here we are right next to this Liberian refugee camp, and all these people are surrounding our van, and it's just three of us in the van. And he gets out, lifts up the hood, and pulls out all of this belt that's shredded. And there's some police that come, and they say, "You need to go, you need to go." And he says, "I can't go because the car isn't working." And he leans his head in the window, and he says, "Debbie, sing the song." And so I'm sitting there in the car, and I'm singing the song, "We come this far by faith." And Fred gets inside, and I said, "Just try to turn the engine over, honey. So God's going to do something. Leaning on the Lord, on, do it. Just sit there and turn the key. Trusting in his holy word. And it turned on. It turned on. And we started moving. And we were so amazed. And we're wondering, how are we driving this car without a belt? You know, those things are a little bit important. And so, I don't know anything about cars, but I do know they have an importance, you know. And so, we get all the way, 2.5 hours later, we pull into the guest house, and we take the car to the garage the next day. There was this much of the belt still there. It had shredded everything but that much, and that much belt took us where we needed to go. Because we spoke to the storm. We spoke to the storm. We've been working on a house in Western New York. We were given a house, and we've been working on it. And there's a whole long story and testimony to all of that situation. But it has taken us a whole lot longer to work on this house than we thought it would. And because of building expenses, all of the costs of doing the work we needed to do in the house has tripled. And so the money we had is no longer sufficient. And so we lived in the house because we have these African refugees that have been living with us, and we put them in our place, and it's a long story. And we moved into the house, and we didn't have any heat for the winter except for a couple of space heaters. And it gets cold in Western New York, south of Buffalo. And so we spent the whole winter there, and there were days when I'd stand there and I'd sing, trusting in his holy word, he's never failed us yet. And Fred would say, it's cold in here, run the dryer whether you have any laundry or not. And so I'd run the dryer, and we'd turn on the tea kettle, and we'd turn on a space heater, and we would just run everything we could, and we made it through the winter, and we're trying to get things together, and we're trying to get this roof put on, and it's raining all summer in Western New York. And Fred and I are looking at all the rain coming down in the house, in the living room, in the kitchen, everywhere. And we're just standing there in the rain. And he's so discouraged. And I said, honey, I'm going to go stand in the kitchen and sing the song. Trusting in his holy word, he's never failed us yet. Because we speak to the storm. We speak to the storm. We don't let the storm speak to us. Don't let the storm determine your attitude, your behavior, your speech, your heart. Don't let the storm speak to you. You speak to the storm. Whatever's going on in your life, you speak to the storm. And you say to the storm, I've had it. You're done. Peace be still. Peace be still. No more storm. Devil, you can't steal from me any longer. Devil, you can't take my kids any longer. Devil, you can't destroy my finances any longer. Devil, you don't have any right to speak over my body. You don't have any right to speak over my body because I'm a child of Almighty God. And regardless of what my body feels like, regardless of what the devil tells me, I can stand when everybody else is falling down. I can stand because the Lord is my strength. He is my redeemer. He is my strong, mighty fortress and tower. I can run to him when I'm in trouble. I can sing to him when I am in trouble. I can speak about the goodness of God. That's what David did. When he was in trouble and he's hiding in the cave, he starts blessing the Lord. When Paul and Silas are sitting in the prison and they have been beaten and they have been wounded and they are bleeding and they're chained together and there's rats and snakes and all kinds of vermin in this prison and they're nibbling on their skin in the middle of the night when it's the darkest time of the night, when everything is lost, they're worshiping the Lord and they're praising the Lord and they're singing to the Lord and they're speaking to their storm. And the earth began to shake, and everything began to tremble. And as everything is trembling, their chains fell off. And in the middle of their prison, they got their dream come true, because they'd gone to Macedonia to hold a revival. And there in the middle of the prison, they had a revival. They had a move of God in the middle of the prison, in the middle of the night, when it was the darkest time of the night. Because they spoke to their storm and they said, I've had enough. We're going to worship God You might feel sorry for yourself. You might be wounded. You might be hurt. You may be bleeding. You may be having a hard time. But God says, if you will worship me, if you will speak to your storm, I will give you the miracles that you need. And I will touch your kids. I'll touch your kids. I'll touch your kids and your kids. I will move upon your life in ways you never dreamed I could. God says, if you will speak my words, if you will declare my words, then you will become just like me, speaking the things that are not as though they were. Speaking the things that are not as though they were. All the time, so many of us speak the things we don't like and wish they weren't. But God says, speak the things that are not as though they were. Don't look at your kids and say they're rotten kids. Don't look at your neighbors and say they're rotten neighbors. Don't look at your husband and say he's a rotten husband. Don't say those things. You're in a minority, so I don't need to talk about the wife, because I know you don't say those things about your wife. So, and I know you don't. But don't say those things. Don't say those things. Speak to the storm. Speak to the storm. Get up when everybody else is drowning, when everybody else is struggling, when everybody else is afraid. You speak to the storm. We live in a day and age where fear is running rampant all across America and all across the world. I travel. I know what it's like. People are afraid, but you don't need to be afraid. Find your song. Find the song. Get a song that God has spoken to your heart. Get a message that God has spoken to your heart. Get a scripture that God has given you. You write it down. You read it. You pray it. You say it. You use it. You put it in on writing. You put it on your fridge. Put it in your car. You put it in the bathroom. Put it on the bathroom mirror. And you apply it to your heart. You say it. You repeat it. You say it not out of vain repetition, but out of intent, purposeful intent, believing that God is listening to everything that you say. And he's writing it down in the book. And when you get to the end, he's going to apply everything to your account, and you will receive the victory that you need. Amen. Father, I want to bless each one here today. Father, I just pray over them. Father, I just thank you, Lord. And Lord, as we're standing here in church, and we've come together, Father, I just bless each one. I just want to pray for each one and ask that you would do a mighty blessing in their life. Father, do a mighty blessing. Father, I just thank you because you are the great God Almighty who knows how to heal our bodies, who knows how to set us free from the torments of the enemy. Father, I just come against all kinds of sickness, all matter of sickness, all kinds of difficulties, Lord. I come against all of those problems that are in the lives represented in this room. Father, I speak over their families and I declare, Lord, that because they love you, because they serve you, you have a message for their family and you have not forgotten their family. Because they love you, Father, you're going to move in their home. Father, I just thank you. I thank you, Lord, that you are greater than any medical diagnosis. You are greater than anything that's been spoken over us. Father, you are greater than every situation. Father, I bless their finances. I thank you that you are Jehovah Jireh. You are more than enough. You are more than enough. Father, I bless each one today and ask that you would open up the windows of heaven for them, that you would pour out a blessing in their lives that they cannot contain. Father, that you would open up the windows and pour out the blessing they've been praying for so long. Father, I hear you say that there are many here who have had prayer requests that have been lingering in their heart for years and years and years. And Father, today I speak over their lives and I declare that those answers are coming. Those answers are coming and they're not long in coming. Father, I thank you that before the end of the year that you will be bringing answers into the lives of these people here. Father, I thank you that before the end of the year, you're going to fix their finances. Before the end of the year, you're going to touch their bodies. Before the end of the year, you're going to give them a clear mind. You're going to give them a clear mind. Father, I come against forgetfulness, Alzheimer's, depression, any kind of mental anguish. I come against those things in Jesus' name. I speak peace over my friends here today. I speak peace over my brothers and sisters. Father, I speak peace over them and declare that you You are the Lord of peace. You are the Lord of peace. You are the Lord of a good and sound mind. Father, I thank you that if we are filled with your Holy Spirit, you have given us the mind of Christ, and we do not have to succumb to any kind of old age mentality. Father, I speak over the minds today, and I speak clarity right now in Jesus' name. I speak over the hearts right now. Father, there'd be no heart disease. There would be no cancer. There would be no diabetes. There would be no backaches. There'd be no arthritis. There would be no headaches. Almighty God. Father, there's nothing too hard for you. There's nothing too hard for you. And Father, we just draw a line in the sand today.
Yes,
and we thank you for the victory.
Yes, Lord.
We thank you for the victory. So just like Paul and Silas in prison, and they're saying, thank you, Lord, for the victory. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We worship you. We worship you, Lord. We worship you. Thank you, Lord. You're doing a mighty thing in my life. Thank you, Lord. You're doing a great thing in my family. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now name that child or that person in your life that needs Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that you're bringing them to Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that you're bringing them to the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the people that belong in this church. Father, bring them in, bring them in, bring them in, bring them in. Father, I come against the spirit of apathy. I come against the spirit of apathy, Lord. Father, I just thank you, mighty God. We come against the evil spirits that have been unleashed upon our nation. Father, we come against those evil spirits, and we speak to that storm right now in Jesus' name. And we say, storm, you must be still. Storm, you must be still. Father, we just stand here in agreement with you when we draw a line in the sand, and we say, we've come this far, but we won't go any further. We put a line in the sand, and we say, we're not going to go any further, and the devil cannot push us back. The devil cannot push us back. Father, we just thank you and declare that you're doing mighty and great things in Jesus' name. Father, bless each one today. May they never be the same again. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening. For more information, visit glbc.org.